Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome you all to this morning service at Emmanuel and Highworth Church, which is part of the Swindon Old Partnership of Churches. I would also like to welcome any visitors who are amongst us this morning. Please make yourselves known to me or to the stewards or any elder. And this morning's service will be led by Reverend Jeff Gleed, who will be assisted by Liz Gibney. Reverend Robert Jordan is away attending an emergency in Berlin. His daughter Myra had an asthma fall near her home in Berlin and needs a lot of medical help with her injuries. Let us remember Robert and the whole family in our prayers. I would also like to thank Reverend Jeff Gleed and Liz Gibney for stepping in at a short notice. Greetings to those listening through recording. I hope you feel part of Emmanuel. The Bible reader this morning is Edith Watson, and the Bible reading will be taken from the New Testament, from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. And I don't know whether Holy Knight is here. Yeah, prayers of intercession will be read by Holy Knight. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news, but I've got few reminders. The first one is that election of elders will take place at the church AGM on the 18th of May at 11:30, and nomination exercise is now open. List of eligible members and nomination forms are now available in the chapel. And there will be a church meeting after this service. I will now light the church Christ candle and the peace candle as we remain in silent in preparation for the service.
Loving God, you have blessed us in so many ways, showering us with your love and your blessings. Your goodness is greater than we can ever hope to measure, and your love beyond anything we can even begin to fathom. Your gifts are more than we can start to know. And yet we know you as a living reality in our world and in our hearts. We know you as the one who gives shape and purpose to life. So we come to you with grateful hearts, and we set aside this time to pray, to listen, to think, and to learn, to praise you through music and singing, and acknowledge you as our Creator, our Lord, our Father, Mother, and our very, very dear friend. We thank you for your incredible and unfailing love, even at times when it's difficult to see. So, Lord, we ask that you will accept our worship, for we bring it to you as an expression of our gratitude and as a sign of our commitment and our love for you. Lord God, in all the stress and rush of life, it is so easy to forget you and to lose our way. We do get preoccupied with our problems, plans, responsibilities. We allow you to be crowded out. We strive and we fret over things. We get uptight over what's really unimportant. Help us to untangle ourselves from everything that holds us back, and to open our hearts afresh to you, to see life in all its fullness. So we ask that you will hear us now in the stillness and in a time of quiet, as we seek your loving presence to help and to heal us and our world, offering up just some of our thoughts, not just for ourselves, but for others, knowing that you are always ready to hear. We would be still. Lord, hear us and help us. May we know that through you and only you can our prayers be truly answered. We bring this prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour and our friend. And together we pray in the words that taught his disciples, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
After the offering and the saying of the grace, which we will do now, the choir are going to sing the anthem, "My song shall be always of the loving kindness of the Lord." These are words taken from Psalm 89, and the music is by Godfrey Sampson. The anthem following the offering.
For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all that you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen.
Amen.
The grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of
be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you. The reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, reading from verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.' Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just before we spend a very short time thinking about those verses from Luke, we'll join in singing hymn 161 from Sing Praise. 161 from Sing Praise, "Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewal." Let us pray. Lord God, open our hearts and minds to hear what message you have for us today. Amen. This last Wednesday, Liz and I went along to Christchurch for the first of the 6 Lent talks, which are entitled, if you've taken a little brochure away with you, The Message of Ephesians for Today. And after a very short introduction, which is unusual, from Simon Stevenet, and as we were meeting in cafe style, each table had a group of questions, the same questions, 4 of them in total. And we were asked to discuss these questions. But the only question of the 4 that I want just to mention here was the first one, which asked, what are your hopes and expectations for our Lent course on Ephesians? What are the questions that you come with? And after some discussion, our table pretty much summed up our answer, which was to listen to each other's understanding of any passage of Scripture and hopefully to gain some fresh insight into what it might be just saying to us as Christians today. In other words, to be open-minded. And that, I guess, could be the same question we could ask of these few verses penned in Luke's Gospel at chapter 13, which Edith has just shared with us. Now, of course, you're well aware that Robert was going to be here today, and actually he was going to preach on this reading. And it could have been very, very easy for me to avoid what is, I think, a pretty difficult passage to unravel, really. I could have chosen something completely different. But bravely, I've soldiered on, and here I am. So here are my thoughts, just a few. They're not going to include the whole of the message of those few verses, but this is what I understand from these words. I guess they could be summed up, these 5 verses, in 3 ways, really. Firstly, we have Jesus showing his unwavering commitment to his mission. Secondly, his lament over Jerusalem, the city which constantly rejects the messengers of God. And finally, we have Jesus talking about his forthcoming death. And in that Bible passage, we read that some Pharisees warn Jesus that he needs to know that Herod is out to kill him. Well, in truth, I suspect that's not really why they said this. They weren't that much interested in protecting Jesus from any danger. Oh, some may have believed what Jesus stood for, but not all by any means. There was probably a much larger group, I suspect, who was trying to trap him yet again and to stop him going up to Jerusalem because they likely feared his message might influence a good many people and turn them away from what they saw to be the true religion. Now, we must not forget here that Jerusalem was seen as the absolute centre of the world. The temple was at the very centre, and the Holy of Holies even more so. And Jesus responds boldly to these Pharisees and others by calling Herod a fox, which is, of course, a symbol of cunning and deceit. And he tells the people that whatever they've said, he has to continue his journey to Jerusalem. And this highlights what he sees as his divine purpose, the reason for his very existence, if you like. Remember, as a Jew, which he was, and we often forget that, Jesus also saw Jerusalem as the centre of all things. So he will not be stopped by political threats. He will not be stopped on threats of murder. He has to journey on, as he sees it, to the holy city. He believes that his destiny is to suffer and die, but only when the time is right and the place is right. Then we have these words where Jesus laments and mourns over Jerusalem, the city that, as we heard, repeatedly rejects and kills number after number of God's prophets through the centuries. And his words clearly express both deep sorrow and also, I think, deep love, showing how he longs himself to gather the people closer to a relationship with God once more, from which he feels they've drifted far, far away. And he uses that wonderful little image, "Oh, if only I could gather you people together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing." But as we know, of course, many, many people refuse to accept him. They don't want to know. Jesus then, I'm suspecting, probably raises his voice a bit. We always tend to think, if we're not careful, of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, I don't think he was anything like that. He was in many ways a rebel, or seen as one. And I always think if he was a lovely man, then I don't think he would have ever met the end that he did. Not really. So he raises his voice in, I suspect, both anger and frustration when he declares that this house, and he's referring to that temple, that Holy of Holies, and also to the people of Israel, the house of Israel as they see themselves, this house will be left desolate. And history, of course, showed him to be right. But then he also points to the future time when he believes that people will come to recognize him as the Messiah. And he quotes from Psalm 118, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He does that, I think, to enforce his words. So then, if we were to sum up what I've been trying to say, I think it would be that we have to take courage as Christians and to remember that despite the many hurdles and setbacks that Jesus faced then, just as we face today, the mission to proclaim God's message is absolutely necessary and is unstoppable. Jesus wasn't deterred by the Pharisees or Herod, and we mustn't be deterred by anything others might say or do to us in our mission today. This passage ultimately reveals how Jesus sees his future mission and his courage to face criticisms and dangers and rejections. That's what it's all about. He sees his unwavering purpose is to bring about the salvation of the world and its people. And boy, oh boy, do we need to hold on to that thought today. So, how do we do this? Well, I'm suggesting we can pray, we can believe in what Jesus stands for, we can hope for a better world, we can live and love a life in Christ, never, never giving up, knowing that Jesus walks with us to encourage and support us in all that we seek to say and do in his name. It's a big task, I know that, and it's very easy at times to shy away, but that's what it's all about. And the little babe in the manger that was helpless is now the Christ coming on the cross who is saying, "Don't just do it for me, do it for God's world." That's the message, I think, at least some of those verses have to say to me today. And I hope what I've shared helps you in your thinking too. God bless you. Amen. I've chosen this next hymn, which I'm going to suggest we sing through twice, just as a little prayer, I think. Perhaps we might remain seated as we sing from Rejoice and Sing, number 477, twice through, "Let there be love shared among us." Wally will now lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Prayers for today. Dear God, in a world where there seems to be constant change and things turned upside down, we turn to you as you are our rock in times of turbulence. We pray for stability. We ask especially that there may be peace, a lasting and just peace between nations and individuals. We pray that all those tackled with bringing peace would do so with a real drive for justice, and that our leaders would seek you first before making the big decisions that affect us all. We pray that our churches may be beacons of light, hope, and a warm welcome, and for an end to the scandals that some have been involved in. May the church in our town and the Old Town Partnership thrive. We think now of those known to us who are going through hard times, that they may know your peace, comfort, and healing. We think especially at the moment of Robert's daughter Myra, and we think of the Pope, and we pray for those that we know going through hard times in the silence now. We thank you for all who strive to make this a better world in any way, and ask that we can be really good stewards of this beautiful planet, for we can all do our bit to help. We thank you too for the joys of spring, of growth, and of lighter days. May we also thank you for the many daily blessings that we receive. We say all these things in your dear Son's name. Amen.
We sing our final hymn from Sing Praise number 267. Christ triumphant, ever reigning, Saviour, Master, King.
Thank you.
May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.